Simon Shin Pegimel is the Isser of Tashmish Shamita for Navel. The Gemara in Moikat and Dav Tefav was a fact from the Psalm regarding David HaMelech. In the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber Paskins, the beginning of Shin Pegimel, Avel Asr B'Tashmish Shamita, Aval B'Shar Dover Korva Mutter. So the other Harchakos do not apply. Afil B'Muzika Fakos V'Asa Shamita V'Archas V'Spani Yad Raglav. So whether or not the husband or the wife, if either the husband or the wife are in Avelus, there's an Isser Tashmish, but the other Harchakos do not apply. Mutaris Lachol Ima Bekara, Mutaris Lishan Ima, who is Bigda, Mehiva Bigda, Mehiva Misham Lechlech, Hamid Nazira, Yesh Lachmir Shalom Yishan Ima Bevitakwal, so Kedai to be Machmir, not to sleep in the same bed, but short of that, all Harchakos, according to the Mechaber, are not in effect, and that's the position of the Ravid, as quoted in the Beis Yosef. The Ramah here does add from the Ben Yeruchim, however, Aval Chibuk V'Nisha Geish L'Hachmir. The Ben Yeruchim said that it's appropriate to be Machmir to prohibit Chibuk V'Nisha for an Avel. If you look in the Kivegi here on the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch, he quotes from a Targum Koheles, that he quotes from Zemel of Vilner, who quoted the Targum Koheles on the Pasuk in Koheles, Eis Lachbog V'Eis the Rechok Mechabek. So the Targum says, Idan Bachir L'Gafafa Isasa V'Idan Bachir L'Racha Migafafa. But sometimes it's appropriate to be Mechabek, and sometimes it's appropriate to not be Mechabek, and when is it appropriate not to be Mechabek? V'Shivas Yimei Ebla. So there's some smach in the Targum on Koheles to this practice that there have been Yilchum quotes prohibiting Chibuk V'Nishuk during the period of Avelus. Rav Avadya notes here in, on page Kuf Ayin Zayin that as far as Sfardim go, even though the Mechaber, technically speaking, does not quote the Sirbin Yeruchim in the Shulchan Aruch, so in Ikar Adin, you don't have to be Machmir to prohibit Chibuk V'Nishuk, but it's appropriate even for Sfardim to be Machmir on Chibuk V'Nishuk. So how do these halachas compare to Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur? So in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchot Yom Kippurim, Simen Tafresh Tesvav Seif Aleph, Tafresh Tesvav Seif Aleph. So there the Mechaber writes, Yom Kippurim Asr B'Tashmi Shamita, V'Asr Liga V'Ishta Kilu Hinida. V'chein Asr Lishanim Ishta B'Mita. So the Mechaber says that not only is Tashmi Shasr, but you shouldn't touch your wife, and you shouldn't sleep in the same bed. And the Magen Avraham quotes here in Siman Tafresh Tesvav that it's mashma from the Maril that all the harchakos apply on Yom Kippur. That the Isser Negiah the Magen Avraham writes applies not only on nighttime and the daytime as well, and the other harchakos apply the Yom HaKippurim. And that's when the Mishnah Berurah says Halach as well, the beginning of Siman Tafresh Tesvav, Sifkat and Aleph, that whatever it says in Yeridei Siman Kuf Tzadihei applies to Yom Kippur. So in Yom Kippur, we're machmir that harchakos apply across the board. In Hilchos Avel, we're mekel that aside from Chibuk V'Nishuk, the other harchakos do not apply. What about Hilchos Tisha B'Av? So in Siman Tafkuf Nandalit if you chas, Mechaber writes, Yesh Misha Omer Shelo Yishan Belel Tisha B'Av V'Nishta B'Mita. So he quotes in the Most Mordechai that it's appropriate not to sleep in the same bed the night of Tisha B'Av. The Nachan Adavra Misham Leich Leich Arminu L'Nazira. So here in Shulchan Aruch it doesn't say explicitly anything about Negiah, and it doesn't talk about anything during the daytime. So the Taz points out back in Hilchos Yom Kippurim, Tafresh Tesvav, Sifkatan Beis, it sounds like we're more makel when it comes to Tisha B'Av than on Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, the Mechaber says there's an Issa Negiah, and Magen Avraham said there were no Zohar Chakos, and in Hilchos Tisha B'Av, the Mechaber just says you shouldn't sleep with your wife in the same bed at night, and nothing about the daytime, nothing about Issa Negiah. So the Taz said that could be because the practice was that on Yom Kippur, women would adorn themselves and wear their yontif finery. And on Tisha B'Av, they would wear begadim mevuzim, they would wear gadim bezuyim, they wouldn't dress in a fancy fashion. They would wear clothes appropriate for avelos. So there's more of a chashash of coming l'day yisra on Yom Kippur than on Tisha B'Av. So that's why the Taz suggests we're more machmir, perhaps, as far as some of these harchakos when it comes to Yom Kippur as opposed to Tisha B'Av. But if you look in the Sharetzion here in Tavkuf Nandalit, Sivkata Nandalit, Tavkuf Nandalit, Sivkata Nandalit, Sharetzion said that if you have a situation where the women do get dressed up on Tisha B'Av, so then the ground for Kula shouldn't apply. For Nagia and for whatever else, we would theoretically be Machmir on Yom Kippur relative to Tisha B'Av. So, there may be a possibility to be more Machmir at Tisha B'Av at night than the daytime, but bottom line, I think the more conventional approach is that we try to be machmir and achakos both on Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av, and comes to Avelos, where generally make one achakos aside from Chibuk and Nishan. Yeah. Right. And that's based on, partially based on the Taz. But the Mishmur says that, and then the Mishmur qualifies that in the Sharetzion with what we just quoted. So even the Mishmur says, depending on circumstances, it could be you should be asked not for Tisha B'Av if the women aren't dressed with a gadim and mezuzim. Okay, now Siman Shin Pei Dalet is the Yisur of Talmud Torah for novel. So the Gemara tells us in Vayikatan on Daf Tes Vav again, Daf Tes Vav, that the source for the Yisur Talmud Torah for Nazar was from the Pesukim in Yecheskel of Hanek Dom. Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Yecheskel, be silent. So that's a source not only for the Yisur of Sheila Shalom, as we'll see, but a source for the Yisur of Talmud Torah. And the Yishami has a slightly different source, the same idea. The Yishami puts the Pesukim in Iyov, Ve'ein Dover Elav Davar. That there was no one speaking to him. At first glance, that sounds like a different source than what we have for the Yisur Talmud Torah for Tisha B'Av. So the Gemara in the end of Tanya, Saf Lamed, tells us that Talmud Torah is not from Tisha B'Av because of Pekudei Hashem Yishar Mitzam Filet. Talmud Torah engenders Simcha. Simcha is an inappropriate emotion on Tisha B'Av, and therefore Talmud Torah is not from Tisha B'Av. Paskin Yecheskel isn't talking about Simcha, it says Hanek Dom, just remain quiet. At first glance, it sounds like a different reasoning than what we have by Tisha B'Av. Parenthetically, some of the Rishonim were bothered to raise the issue. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives Yecheskel a series of commands that he has to present himself even though anyone else under the circumstances would be Noeg Nehugei Avelos. Yecheskel is not to be knowing Nehugei Avelos. So we learn out some of the Nehugei Avelos and not those spoken in Yecheskel. Whatever Hashem says Yecheskel don't do, a regular Avel does. Whatever Hashem says Yecheskel do, a regular Avel is not allowed to do. But Hanek Dom, so there we learn out that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu said Yecheskel do, meaning remain silent, that is the source for other Avelim as well. So why is it when it comes to this of Talmud Torah and Sheva Shalom, so there what we learn from Yecheskel is the same as any other Avel, and by all the other Nehugei Avelos, what we learn from Yecheskel is the opposite of what every other Avel does. And Rabbi Yosef asked this question in Moikata, that Zayin HaMedeis B'Daf Erif, Dibur Maskel Hanek Dom, Zayin HaMedeis B'Daf Erif, Dibur Maskel Hanek Dom. And it sounds like the way that Rabbi Yosef answers is that you have to read the Pasuk, Hashem says Hanek Dom, be quiet, and then Hashem says, do not act like a regular Avel and do X, Y, Z. So you break out the pasuk. First Hashem says, be quiet, like a regular Avel, and then the rest of the pasuk are things that Yechezkel was supposed to do or not supposed to do, which are in contrast to the situation for regular Avel. Okay. Be that as it may. So this distinction, whether it is indeed the case that the nature of the Yisra Talmud Torah for an Avel is fundamentally different than the nature of the Yisra Talmud Torah for Tisha B'Av, sounds like it is a machlokas between Rebbeinu Tam and Rebbeinu Tam. Tosfos tells us in Moikatan Daf Kaf Aleph Amud Aleph Dibur Maskul V'Aser, Kaf Aleph Amud Aleph Dibur Maskul V'Aser, that Rebbeinu Tam had a change of opinion regarding the following halacha. The Gemara tells us in the end of Tanis, so when it comes to Tisha B'Av, even though there's an Isra Talmud Torah, you're not allowed to learn on Tisha B'Av, but there are certain exceptions or carve-outs. You're allowed to learn Dvarim HaRaim, you're allowed to learn Eicha and Eov and parts of Yirmiyah, and the Avelus gives you're allowed to learn things that have an Avelus theme, things that are not of a happy nature. So that's the carve-out of Dvarim HaRaim that are permissible on Tisha B'Av, we don't find anywhere in the Gemara Moikata. In other words, the Gemara tells us explicitly that in the context of Avelus, is an Avel permitted to learn Dvarim HaRaim. The Tosafot here in the Moikata Daf Kaf Aleph quotes from the Tshuvas Ari that originally Rebbeinu Tam asserted learning Eov and Dvarim HaRaim during Avelus. And after all, the Gemara does not anywhere indicate that there is such a heter for an Avel as opposed to on Tisha B'Av. And then the Nei Ziknuso, Tosafot writes, the Rebbeinu Tam is closer, and he was master learning Dvarim HaRaim for an Avel. That sounds like initially Rebbeinu Tam, and Tosfos kind of spells this out, initially Rebbeinu Tam was of the opinion that the Isser of Talmud Torah for an Avel is different than the Isser of Talmud Torah for Tisha B'Av. After all, if the source is Hanek Dom, be quiet, so be quiet doesn't distinguish between Dvarim HaRayim and Dvarim HaMesamchim. It's not a function of Simcha, it's a function of remaining silent. If the imperative is to remain silent, so one must remain silent from Dvarim HaRayim as well. And that's what the Meiri writes, more explicitly. The Meiri Daf Kaf Aleph Amud Aleph Dibur Maskul Avel Aser. Meiri writes, V'hu Sheladach Ksas, according to a minority opinion of Rishonim, Aser Af Bekinos Et Dvarim HaRayim, Af Api Shehudru B'Tisha B'Av, Sheba Avel Adavr Toli B'Shesika. When it comes to an Avel, the critical factor is remaining silent. But the Tisha B'Av Eino Tali Yelo B'Tzar. On Tisha B'Av, you have to afflict yourself. So therefore, learning that which is Mitzameach you is not consistent with being Mitzar yourself, but Dvarim HaRayim is. As opposed to during Avelus, when the issue is Shesika, the Shesika doesn't distinguish between Dvarim HaRayim and other forms of lima. So Meiri doesn't accept this opinion of Halacha either, but the Meiri says that this is predicated on a distinction between Talmud Torah for an Avel being a Shesika related Halacha and Talmud Torah for Tisha B'Av being a Tsar / Simcha related Halacha. But ultimately Rebbeinu Tam was closer, and Rebbeinu Tam ben Sikdusa was of the opinion that the carve-out of Dvarim HaRayim that applies to Tisha B'Av applies to Avelus as well, because fundamentally, even by Avelus, despite the fact that the Gemara quotes the pasuk of Hanei Kom, the real underlying reason for the Yisra Avelus is Simcha related. Sorry, the real underlying reason for the Yisra Talmud Torah and Avelus is Simcha related. So anything that's Misameach you is going to be Usher, but Dvarim HaRayim are not Misameach you, and therefore would be Mutter. And the Meiri spells that out as well in the same piece. Now the Yerushalmi has another hat there, which is a dependent to Machlokas Tanayim that we have when it comes to Tisha B'Av. The Yerushalmi quotes this in the context of Avelus as well. Now we have a Machlokas Rebbeinu Meir and Rebbe Yehuda about Machem She'enu Raga Likros. So according to the position of Rav Meir on Tisha B'Av, and according to Rishami on for an Avim as well, not only are you allowed to learn Dvarim Harayim, but you're allowed to learn a sugya that you're not holding in, a sugya that you're not accustomed to learning, because of the presumed difficulty involved in engaging in an unfamiliar sugya. So that is not misameach the same way that regular Lima Tari is. So there's this heter of Makam Shena Ragil Likra. So that's a machlokas from Mei and Rabbi Yehuda, machlokas Tanaim, and we paskin in Hilchos Tishah, and we paskin in Hilchos Avelos, that there's no heter of Makam Shena Ragil Likra, it's only heter of Dvarim Harai. There are some Rishonim, if you look in the Divrei Sofrim here in Sifratan Kafes, Divrei Sofrim Kafes, he quotes a number of Rishonim that do paskin like this Yerushalmi and paskin like Shitas Remeir when it comes to Avelos. The Or Zeruah, for example, in Siman Tav Lamed Aleph says that when it comes to Avelos, because we have the principle of Halacha Kedivrei Anekel Ba'Avel and Machlokas Tanayim, so then you have to paskin like Remeir that Makom She'enu Ragel Likros is permissible. But that is not acceptable. Halacha, we do accept that there's a karga for Dvarim Harayim, but we prohibit Limud Torah v'Makom She'enu Ragel Likros. Okay. Now it is possible that even though it seems that we accept Lalacha, the reason of Simcha, as being the main, the underlying factor in the Issur Talmud Torah for an Avel, which is why there's a Heter Dvarim Harayim, there may be another aspect to the Issur Talmud Torah as well. If you look in the Chidushei Haran, and Daf Yud Aleph on the Beis and Moikat in the beginning of the second parak in the Sugya of Malacha, so there the Chidushei Ran Yud Aleph on the Beis, the end of Dibur Masel Kasav Haramban. Okay, Chidushei Ran Yud Aleph on the Beis, Dibur Masel Kasav Haramban. The Chidushei Ran writes, he quotes Rabbeinu Yehoshia, I'm not sure who that is, Kasav Haravir Behoshia, She'im Haya Ha'avo Rofe, let's say the other was a doctor, and he wants to take the opportunity to engage in professional training. He wants to read the medical books in order to brush up on the trade. Shiloh is Sarasha, where there's no pressing need. If there's someone, so if we discussed previously, as far as the Yisra Malacha, if you have a doctor that needs to treat a patient who's ill, and there's no one else who can treat him, so we allow the doctor to do so. So if the doctor needs to treat an ill patient and he has to look up in the reference books how to treat him, that would definitely be permissible. But short of that, Sam, to read Sifrei Refuah, to learn something new, that is Aser. The Chachma hi afavi she'enu Malacha. The reading Sifrei Refuah, says Iran, quoting this Rabbeinu Yehoshia, is not the Malacha, so you can't prohibit it under the strict prohibition of Malacha. But it's considered chachma, and therefore it is prohibited. What's that based on? Why should that be? So in the footnote there in the Chidush Eran, footnote number 36, he presumes that this Isser has an extension of Talmud Torah. That just like you're not allowed to engage in Talmud Torah, you're not allowed to engage in study of secular pursuits as well. He says, if the Isser Talmud Torah is simply Simcha-related, so then it doesn't necessarily stand to reason that we're going to Aser secular literature as well. You know, there's a certain inherent Simcha that is engendered by Talmud Torah, and that level of Simcha does not exist by reading medical books or the like. Rather, must be that in addition or beyond the reason of Simcha, there's also a notion of not to distract yourself from the Avelis, not to distract yourself from what should be the focus during this period. Just like we saw, the Ramban said as much when it comes to the Isser Malacha, that the reason for the Malacha, Zintite, is Shalol Asiyaf Daito Min HaAvelis. So the same may be true on some level for Talmud Torah as well, that it's true, there is a component of Simcha, not engaging in Talmud Torah because it is Misameach, but beyond the Simcha involved in Talmud Torah, there's another factor of Shelo Lasiyaf Daito Min HaAvelis. We have such a notion in Tisha B'Av also, right? There's a Rashi in the end of Tanis who writes that the reason for the Yisur of Kibbutz during Shibush HaKavo is Shelo Lasiyaf Daitam in Avelus. That we have by Tisha B'Av also such a notion of certainly Hugi Avelus having the component of creating or preventing a Hesach Hadas. So that's what the Magia suggests over here, that maybe when it comes to the Issur Talmud Torah, it's not only a matter of Simcha, but there's also an element of Shelo Lasiyaf Daitam in Avelus. And that would apply not only to Talmud Torah, but to read anything that's going to take your mind off the Avelus at hand. He says that the reason of Shelo Lasiyaf Daitam in Avelus would not necessarily have been enough to prohibit Talmud Torah. If it was just a matter of Shelo Lasiyaf Daitam in Avelus, then maybe would have said that Talmud Torah is a mitzvah, so Shelo Lasiyaf Daitam in Avelus is not enough to tell you to the end of the mitzvah Talmud Torah. But the added factor of Simcha, so that creates a stronger allowance to Aser Talmud Torah. Yeah.
Is it important to
say
that the Aser read the newspaper?
Yeah, so the Aruch HaShulchan writes that it's Aser read the newspaper. It doesn't call it the Chiddush HaRan, and if you have the Chiddush HaRan, what is the Chiddush HaRan in Mori Katan printed first? I don't know. You read the Hagdama. But the Aruch HaShulchan writes in Siv Tes that an Avil was not allowed to learn Shara Chokmos or to read newspapers. Shelo Lasiyaf Daitam in Avelus. And presumably the same should be true on Tisha B'Av as well. Rav Avadia quotes page Kuf Sadi Dalid. There's a Kolbo in Simen Samach Beis. Kolbo in Simen Samach Beis writes that the reason there is a prohibition of taking a walk of a Tiyul Bashuk on Tisha B'Av is not to come to Tzok Vihito. So he points out that's also a factor. Rav Adi writes that even though one should not read secular literature, should read newspapers, it would be permissible to read Josephus, just as is the case on Tisha B'Av, as the Mishruah quotes Allah in the beginning of Simon Tavkuf Nadalid. So any historical accounts of the Korban would be permissible, and Rav Adi thinks that the Holocaust literature would be permissible as well. So.
Why is that different than, why is that considered something distracting?
Reading?
And reading Holocaust.
No, that he's saying is mutter. He's saying so something, right, that's like Dvar Moran. I'm sorry?
Right. Yeah,
why isn't that considered distracting? So if you're reading a bit, that's the same notion as Dvar Moran. You're engaged in unpleasant, thinking about unpleasant things, or learning Hilchot Avelus, or Paragil Megalkin, or reading Yirmiyah, or Echa, so then that's, you're engaging in, are you're engaging in depressing topics.
You're thinking about your loss.
Right. So either, as long as you are engaged in depressive topics, so it's not really distracting you fully from your experiencing Avelus. So this is another form of Avelus, of communal Avelus, of similar theme.
This is not to say just the Holocaust, but any sad crusades
or yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm. Okay. What about reading Musar Sfarim? So the Meiri, there's a Beferish Meiri about this. The Meiri in that same piece we quoted before in Daf Kaf Aleph, the Meiri writes, La'ayin b'sfarim ha'me'orim libo shel adam l'tshuva lo nesar. So you're allowed to read books that bring one to feelings of tshuva. Not only are you allowed to, but it's even appropriate to. And it seems that this is common practice, to read Musar Sfarim during Avelus. I don't know how many Musar Sfarim the Miri had access to, because most of the classic Musar Sfarim were written after the Miri. But so whatever Musar Sfarim the Miri had, so he says a common practice was to read them during the period of Avelus. He writes, "The Yom Rishon, Mi Arayli Zami Kol Bakol." Niri writes that maybe you should be machmer on the first day, because according to some of the Yom Rishon and the Raisa, they shouldn't be the Mussar Svarim on the first day. But fundamentally, you can be Mussar Svarim. Rav Avadia quotes this halacha, not the first day part, but that it's Mussar to read Mussar Svarim. Rav Avadia says the same. Rav Avadia has talking about what hadn't been invented yet. He has a little bit of a, he just notes, the Yerushalmi quotes the pasuk in Iyov as the makor for the Issur Tamei Torah for Nazal. So there's a machlokas, the Yochanan Rish Lakish in Yerushalmi, about the parameters of the Issur Tamei Torah. So the Rav Avadia quotes the Divrei Sofrim understood that machlokas was about Dvarim Harayim. That Evan agrees that Talmud Torah is also about closing is whether you're allowed to learn Dvarim Haran. So Rashi thinks one of the reasons that's difficult is because what Dvarim Haran did Eov have access to? If Eov was in the Tufa of Avraham Avinu, Moshe Rabbeinu, so what are the Dvarim Haran that an Eov was allowed to learn, was Eov able to learn? Okay. The Yerushalmi quotes a notion or a dispensation for the Issur Talmud Torah of Lahud Achar Torah. That if someone is so beholden to the Torah that he can't live without Talmud Torah, so then he's permissible to engage in Talmud Torah on as an Ava. So this does not make it into Shulchan Aruch. And the Aruch HaShulchan writes in Sif Gimel, the what shot in this Yerushalmi. They say it's true that it's not quoted in the Babli, so we don't accept the Lalach. But what's the theory? The theory is that if a person is Lod Achar Torah, so it's like someone who is starving, who needs food. And if you don't give him food, then he's going to be in grave physical danger. So if someone is Lod Achar Torah, so then that's like he's a chol in the sukkah. And if you don't allow him to engage in Talmud Torah, then he may be in physical danger. And Aruch HaShulchan writes, so we don't have people like that anymore. And that's why the postman don't quote this Yerushalmi. The Rav Avadia writes, Pesh Kuf Beidali, you don't have to go as far as the Aruch HaShulchan. You don't have to say he's like a chol in the sukkah, you can say he's like an istanis. So just like an istanis, a person is more highly sensitive to cleanliness than your average person, an istanis is allowed to engage in rechisa during Shiva. So the theory of Lod Achar Torah is that someone, he is so sensitive to being in a situation without access to Talmud Torah, so then he's like an istanis, and there would be such a hazard. You know, they say, Rav Avadia quotes this from Rav Zevin and Isha Meshita. So I tried to find it last night. Rav Zevin has about 70 pages about the Ragachavar, so I couldn't find it when I was looking quickly. But they say about the Ragachavar, and Rav Zevin probably quotes this, that the Ragachavar is an Avelis. He engaged in regular Talmud Torah because he felt that the Yerushalmi applied to him, and he was Lod Achar Torah. He couldn't exist without Talmud Torah. Jonah Simon told me yesterday that there's a new biography for Shmuel Rizovsky that came out, and the biography that tells a story that when he came, when he was an Avil and came back from the Beis HaKvaros, he sat down and learned for a half hour because he wasn't able to function without it, and that was also this Lod Achar Torah. But generally speaking, we don't have too many people who fit into that category, and it's not going to Shulchan Aruch anyway, but Rav Avadia does say, maybe it's a sniff, that if you have someone who's really, he calls a shakta nifla, someone who's Lod Achar Torah, so there is a minority opinion we've shown him, the Ramban quotes this, the Meiri quotes this, there's a minority opinion we've shown him, that the Issur of Talmud Torah only applies to the first day of Avelis. There's no Issur of Talmud Torah beyond day one, so we don't accept the Falacha. The Ramban has such a day, and the Meiri has such a day. They don't accept the Falacha either. But the Rav Avadia says that maybe you could be mitzarek, that since there is a minority opinion we've shown him that the whole Eifer of Tam and Torah only applies to day one anyway. So then if you have someone who's mamish, a shakla nifla, then maybe you could be mitzvah this Yerushalmi to that day in Rishonim to allow him to engage in Tam and Torah after day one. So he's now recommending this halacha, and he doesn't say that he did it. So that's the theory. Okay. The Mordechai in Siman Tafsaf Ayin Beis quotes, writes, that an Avil is not allowed to get an Aliyah during Shiva. Even if the, presumably, that's what we say here in Tef Beis, that even if the fellow is a Kohen, and there's no other Kohen, he's not allowed to get the Aliyah. In the Avo Kohen, Beimah Beis HaKnesset Kohen Akher, Asur La'alos Likus V'Torah. So the Kohen doesn't get called up to an Aliyah, even if he's only Kohen in Shul. He doesn't have to walk out, he can stay there, but he's Mufka from getting an Aliyah, so you don't call him up even if he's the only Kohen in Shul. Me'iri quotes a dissenting opinion. The Me'iri here in Daf Kafalos quotes a Yesh Omrim that if he's the only Kohen present, then he gets an Aliyah, because that's called Rabim Srikhama. So that's the head that the Gemara has on Daf Kaf Aleph, that even though it's us that engage in Talmud Torah, there's a dispensation of Rabim Srikhama. If the person is the Posek Hador, and he's the only person that can pass in a certain Shaila, he's allowed to pass in the Shaila, because Rabim Srikhama, because people need his involvement, they can't function without him. So the Me'iri quotes such a daya, that if the Kohen is an Avil, he's the only Kohen in the Shul, he's the only Kohen present, so he's allowed to take the Aliyah, because that's Rabban Tichelo, he's the only Kohen. And then he quotes from the Gaon Sfard that that's not called Rabban Tichelo. Rabban Tichelo means that he's the only person who can pass on the Shaila, he's the only person who can answer the question or to maybe even give the Shir. But the whole reason that Kohen gets the first Aliyah is when they darkish Shalom. So in general, you have to have a system to make sure that people aren't fighting over aliyahs. So the Kohen gets the first aliyah, and the lady gets the second aliyah, whatever the Seder is. That's all because of Darkei Shalom. So that Darkei Shalom consideration doesn't apply by an Avel. An Avel is also with Talmud Torah. So there's no Darkei Shalom that tells you need to give the Kohen the aliyah to avoid fights. The Kohen is not available. And that's what we assume in Halacha, that even if the Kohen is the Avel, if the Kohen is the only Kohen present, he still doesn't take the aliyah. Rav Schechter quotes in the Rav, this is printed in Dikvei Hatzon Simen Yudayim, Dikvei Hatzon Simen Yudayim, that the Rav explained, when it comes to an Avil, there are two aspects of the Isser Talmud Torah. There's the aspect we've been talking about until now, which is that it's Usser for an Avil to learn Torah. And there's a second aspect, which is that it's Usser for an Avil to teach Torah. So the notion of getting an Aliyah is a form of public teaching of Torah. So an Avil can't get an Aliyah not only because he's usher the Talmud Torah, but because he is prohibited from teaching others. But if you don't say that, you have to deal with the following inconsistency. If the only reason that an Avil can't get an Aliyah is that he's not allowed to engage in Talmud Torah, so then why is he allowed to even be present for Kriyas HaTorah? If Kriyas HaTorah is a function of Talmud Torah, it's a form of Talmud Torah, an Avil is not allowed to engage in Talmud Torah, so we should tell the Avil he has to walk out for Kriyas HaTorah. And that we don't say. So once he doesn't have to walk out, why would that be? As we'll see, there's a notion of Seder Yom, that whatever is part of the normal davening, even though, technically speaking, it may fulfill a Talmud Torah requirement, so that's mutter. We'll see an Avil, whatever is part of the normal davening, an Avil is allowed to recite, even though they're psukim, even though it's Torah. So you would have said, you should have said, that Kriyas HaTorah also is Seder Yom. So if it's Seder Yom, then why can't the Avil get an Aliyah as well? So this distinction points to the Rav's idea that there's an Isser Talmud Torah. As far as the Isser Talmud Torah goes, listening to Kriyas HaTorah is Seder Yom. So that's not a violation of the Isser Talmud Torah. But to get an Aliyah, that's a manifestation of teaching Torah. And that is Usher for an Avil to engage in independence of the Yisr of Talmud Torah.
Well, you say that the mokers from dope.
Yeah.
You are being dope. I mean, this is you.
Well, so we'll talk about Hira Kedibur, but many are not many Hira Kedibur. So what do you want to say? That to hear, right? So we're math here at the Deeper. So we'll talk about that. Okay. And the Rabbi explained that's also pshat in the Magen Avraham and Hilchos Tishabav. Tav kuf nun dal sifkat and beis. Tav kuf nun dal sifkat and beis. That's tinoko shel beis Rabban b'teil and b'tishabav. That the din is that even though there's a heter of Dvar Maram, you're allowed to learn Dvar Maram and Tisha B'Av, but you're not allowed to teach Dvar Maram to the cheder children. So you can't have a formal class for the Tinoko Shel Beis Rabban. So even though, as far as the Yisra Talmud Torah goes, it should have been mutter to teach them Dvar Maram, but there's an additional Yisra of teaching Torah B'Rabban, which may be maybe more pronounced when it comes to Tinoko Shel Beis Rabban. That's also the Rav's idea along these lines, that the reason a chassan gets an aliyah is the opposite, because part of Simchas Chassan is being involved in Talmud Torah and teaching Torah B'Rabban, and that is what getting an aliyah fulfills. But since we just mentioned Seder Hayom, so in Hilchos Tisha B'Av Tavkuf Nandal Sif Dalet, Mechaber Paskins, Mutter Likra is called Seder Hayom. You're allowed to read to lay in the regular Seder Hayom. The Parsha of Sakarbanos, the Mishnah of Ezim Koman, the Medrash Rabbi Yishmael. So in Tisha B'Av, you're allowed to say the Karbanos, Ezim Koman, even though you're learning a parak of, you're reciting a parak of Mishnayos, but you're not reciting it al Samatar, you're reciting al part of the Seder Yom, part of the regular Tfila. So that's part of davening. So it happens to be the Mishnayos, but it's part of davening. Whatever part of davening you're allowed to recite on Tisha B'Av. And the same is true when it comes to Avelus. Rabbi Willig says that the Heter Seder Yom for Karbanos only applies to that which you have to say Mikra Din, which is Kodesh Shulchan Aruch. So that's the Parsha HaTamid and the Parsha HaKetores and the Baye HaYom Mesadu Seder Maracha and Ezim HaKoman. But let's say the Parsha HaKiyor, for that it doesn't say Shulchan Aruch you have to say, so even if you normally say it, you think you shouldn't say it on Tisha B'Av. Okay, so Yisrael brought up the question of Hir Her Kedibur. What is the status, or is an Avil permitted to be Mahar Her B'Divrei Torah? So the Magen Avraham in Hilchos Tisha B'Av, Simen Tav Kuf Nun Dalet Sifkaten Hei, Tav Kuf Nun Dalet Sifkaten Hei, quotes from a Chuvas Nariel that even though in general the Chalat Tarakula, Shuvas Maril is Simen Reish Aleph. Shuvas Maril is Simen Reish Aleph. Even though in general the Chalat Tarakula, we assume that in many instances we assume that here her lab could be dummy. However, when it comes to the Yisr for an Avil of the Yisr and Tisha B'Av, what's critical is Simcha. So a person can derive Simcha from Talmud Torah even if it's Ayideh hear her. That's the Magen Avraham assumes halacha based on this Maril, that when it comes to Avelus, when it comes to Tisha B'Av, we say Hir Hur is Kedibur, and just like it's usher to engage in Talmud Torah verbally, it's usher to engage in Talmud Torah Ayideh Hir Hur as well. But then the Magen Avraham takes issue with the second point of the same Shuvas Maril. The Magen Avraham assumes, based on the point that he accepts from the Maril, that even Talmud Torah Ayideh Hir Hur is usher because it enhances and creates Simcha, so he thinks that it's also usher to learn Be'iyun for the same reason. So even B'dvarim Harayim, so you're allowed to learn Hilchos Avelus, you're allowed to learn Elam HaGalchin, let's say you're allowed to learn parts of Yirmiyah, but you're not allowed to learn the Iyan. Learning the Iyan, even Bidvar Marayim, Kasha Teretz, that also is a form of Simcha. Maril himself doesn't say that, but Maril writes, that why should you distinguish between what he calls the Perish and the Kriya? So do you really think that the heter of Dvar is only to read the words? So you're only allowed to read the words but you can't understand them? Obviously, if it's mutter to read the words, then it's mutter to understand the words as well. Vadya points out that there isn't necessarily a machlokas. Vadya writes that there are two types of iyan. There's an iyan which is understanding what you're learning, and there's an iyan of pilpul, of kashataritz, of trying to dig deeper and get to the bottom of things on a deeper level. So simply trying to understand, however you got that understanding, that's going to be mutter. But a more intense kind of pilpul would be usher for an avil and usher on Tisha B'Av. I neglected the first step before. As far as hear her, so in Shulchan Aruch, this is my real quote in Shulchan Aruch, in Tav Kuf Nadal Sif Yemel, Yesh Misha Osir Lilmod Al Yidei Hear Her, and the Magen Avraham explained that based on that Maril, of the reason of Simcha. Okay. The Gemara Maikata and Daf Kaf Gimel has the following. You're not allowed to recite the sugya or an agada in a beis avel. Amru lava Rabbi Chananya ben Gamliel, Shaya Omer Shmua v'agada beis avel. So the Gemara first says that you're not allowed to learn in a beis avel, independent of the avel. Anyone present in a beis avel is not allowed to learn a beis avel, independent of the Yisra Tam and Torah for the avel himself. And Rabbi Chananya ben Gamliel argued. And he allowed for learning in a base avil. So this is quoted by Halacha in the Rambam Perek Gimel. Perek Gimel Halacha Tes. The Rambam Perek Gimel are the halachas that apply not to an avil per se, but to a base avil. And then it's quoted by Halacha in Simon Shin Ayin Ches is Zayin. So Mechaber writes, we had done Shin Ayin Ches earlier, but we didn't pay attention to this if. So Mechaber writes, so you shouldn't learn or talk in learning in the Beis Avel, you should sit silently. So the Rashash here in his comments on the Gemara my cousin is bothered by the following question. He says, why only Paskin like Rav Chananya ben Gamliel? Tanakam says there's an Isser Shmua b'Beis Avel and Rav Chananya ben Gamliel was Mako. So we have the principle that, at least when it comes to Machlokas Tanaim, Malacha Kedivrei Meikel Ba'avel. So why don't we pass in like a Chananya ben Gamliel that there's no Isser of talking and learning in a Beis Avel? So first he says, well, if you look at the Rif and the Rush, the Rif and the Rush just quote this Machlokas as a Machlokas, and maybe they actually assume that we do pass in like a Chananya ben Gamliel, because they quote the two Tanaim. And based on this principle of Halacha Divrei Meikel Ba'avel, and they do quote Rav Chananya ben Gamliel, so maybe they mean to accept that position, Lahalacha. And he writes, Kim Dumani Shekei Noagim. That seems to be the common practice, meaning that the common practice seems to be, says the Rashash, that people do learn in a Beis Avel. Or it's a later Rachmanim, say when they ask this question, the Rosh HaShulchan asks It seems that common practice is that you learn Mishnayos in a Beis Avel, you learn Mishnayos in a Mincha Maariv. If there's a Chevra Shas, you learn Gemara. So common practice seems to have been that there was Talmud Torah going on in a Beis Avel. And then the Rosh Hashanah suggests that maybe, according to the Ramban, it's mutter even according to Tana Kama. What's the Ramban? So the Ramban and the Torah Adam and the Ritva here on Kaf Gimel have the following two explanations of this din. So first, the Ritva and the Ramban suggest that maybe this din of Ein Omim Shmuel V'Yagadu V'Beis Avel, that's referring to Shabbos. That even though Dvarim B'Tzina are knowing on Shabbos, sorry, he says the other way. Even though there's no Avelis on Shabbos, but since Dvarim Shebetzina are Noeg, it would be still inappropriate to engage in Talmud Torah in a Beis Avel. And then he says, and this is what the Rosh Hashanah zeroes in on, that maybe this whole din of Ein Omim Shmuel V'Yagadu Beis Avel has to be connected to the previous line of the Gemara. The Gemara previously, on the bottom of Kaf Beis Amud Beis, has Chacham Shemeis Beis Midrash Shabbato. And a Chacham died, so there's no Talmud Torah going on in this Beis Midrash. Abezin Shemeis Kol Bato Midrash of Shabir B'Tela. Nasi Shemeis Bato Midrash of Kulam B'Tela. So this din of Ein Omim Shmuel V'Yagadu Beis Avel means in the Beis Midrash of the Chacham Shemeis. So it's not talking about a Beis Avel in general. Then the Rosh Hashanah says, according to that, our practice could be justified even according to Tana Kama. So as I said, the Rosh Hashanah is bothered by what seems to be counter practice in Shin Ayin Ches. The Aruch HaShulchan is in Shin Ayin Ches, Sif Ches and Sif Tes. And that's his suggestion, that maybe we assume that this din only applies to a Chacham Shemeis Beis Midrash of Batel, but not a Stam Beis Avel. Bada Yisholchan in the Be'urim on page Kuf Kaf and the Divrei Sofrim Shin Ayin Ches Akat Lamed Ches Shin Ayin Ches Akat Lamed Ches. So they both point out that it doesn't really fit in the Mechaber, meaning there's no evidence, the way it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, the way it's quoted in the Rambam, that this has anything to do with Talmud Chacham Shemeis. Talmud Chacham Shemeis doesn't appear anywhere in Siman Shin Ayin Ches, so it's difficult to explain that we lahalacha accept that limitation of Ein Omim Shmuel V'Yagadu Beis Avel being only regarding a Talmud Chacham Shemeis. So they quote from the Imre Baruch that maybe, no, even though in principle there is an isser of engaging in Talmud Torah in a Beis Avel, but if you're doing it for the Neshama, then it would be mutter. So they think that common practice is based on that, that if you're doing it as a Zchus for the Neshama, it would be mutter. It doesn't... Okay. Rabbi Willa quotes from the Rav was very much into the notion that there are certain halachas and avelas that are halachas in the Beis Avel, and this being one of them. So independent of the Issa Talmud Torah, it's us to engage in Torah in a Beis Avel. So the Rav thought it was inappropriate to learn Mishnayos in a Beis Avel, even in the situation of common practice to do so. Rabbi Willock says that if you want to learn Mishnayos, you can learn Pirkei Avos. That would be along the lines of Sifrei Musar that are permissible, but it would be a violation of this din, even though common practice is apparently not the way. But the Rav felt it would be a violation of this halacha to learn regular Mishnayos in a Beis Avel. The Divrei Sofrim quotes Emek Davrin Shin Ayin Ches Sukkotin Ayin Vav from the Tzava of the Nesivas. The Nesivas said in his Tzava that you should have 10 people every day to learn Mishnayos in the Beis Avo, and then they would say Kaddish. So he just points out, either the Nesivas is assuming that it wouldn't be a violation of Talmud Torah for the Avelim to hear the Mishnayos, and why should that be so? Or that they could say the Kaddish even if they didn't hear the Mishnayos. Why should that be so? What's Ritva?
Before Dash, the two people could start learning in front of the other ones, you could hear them.
Right. Right, okay, good. Okay, we'll stop here, and...